Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind is here live today. What is this? I got to pick my own date now. Man, what is it? 27th. March 27th. Robert is still in California. Robert Sager. He'll be back tomorrow. Stayed out there with his family. Had a good trip to Bakersfield, California. So we have, sitting in, Jonathan, who hasn't been here in a while. Happily married. And got a wife to go home and cook supper for. Jonathan, say hi.
We're training another newbie.
Leah, who's been our librarian here for some time, and
she's
a
librarian. That's kind of simple. She's a multitasker. She's a
they can multitask.
She
yeah.
does everything
and reads the testimonies, and
she organizes a book. So I saw her out there manhandling like some 75-pound boxes one time. Which is all those science experiments,
which is more than she weighs, and
yep,
and right, pretty close. And Leah's going to be filling in for Robert. First time on the switchboard. You got all those buttons straight, Leah?
Nope, not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Well, anyway, we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. There has never been a dumber idea than to teach the kids we all came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago. And the Bible is absolutely true. God made the world in 6 days. Boy, we had a great trip to Bakersfield, California. And some of you new folks that are out there at the Bakersfield meeting are listening, welcome to the program. You're welcome to call in and join us here. We're not sure how smooth it's going to go with calls and stuff like that, but if you want to call in, you can do so, 877-479-DINO if you're in the U.S. If you're outside the U.S., 850-479-DINO. Actually, that one works no matter where you are. 850-479-3466, extension 136. Do not leave a message on that phone. It won't do any good. We just don't ever listen to that answering machine. We got 100 answering machines around here. We listen to all the rest of them, but that one is the orphaned child. It gets left alone. So don't leave a message there. If you want to schedule a meeting, you call our same office number and go to extension 113. If you want to order some videos or stuff like that, just wait for the beep and you can order videos. Okay. You can email us at drdino.com is our website. Go there and click the button. And you can email us, or you can instant message us, AOL instant message. That's Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. Let me get to some of the questions here. Any questions are fair game. We take phone calls first. If you want to call in, we'll put you ahead of the pile and take your questions on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. Okay, here's from Rolo RLSPT. Says, I met someone who recommended Dr. Hovind's book, and they said they belong to the Church of Christ. I'm wondering if they are Mormons or if the Church of Christ is different than the LDS. Very different, yes. Church of Christ, there are a couple different varieties, but basically they started by a guy named Campbell, I think it was Russell Campbell, back in the 1800s, who taught that baptism is essential for salvation, actually part of your salvation. I would have to disagree totally, but there's a lot of folks who believe that, and they believe, you know, you have to be baptized to be saved. They use the Acts 2:38 verse as their primary text, as well as a couple others, but you know, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And I say, guys, the word for has lots of different meanings. You know, if I say John's in jail for stealing watermelons, does that mean he's in jail to learn how to steal watermelons or because he already did steal watermelons? See, the word for can mean because of a past event. And so because of so many other scriptures dealing with that topic, I think it'd be pretty obvious that, you know, the word for in that case must mean you're baptized because your sins are already forgiven. All right, Jonathan, tell them what you've been up to the last couple of months.
Well, just on that topic right there, one of the main verses that a lot of people like to bring up is the verse that says, unless a man be born of the flesh and of the spirit, he cannot enter into heaven. And they'll look at that, or unless a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into heaven. And so people will say, well, a man has to be born of the water and of the spirit to actually get into heaven. It's in John 3. John 3, yeah. And they ignore the parallel passage right next to that. That follows it almost just immediately. The very next verse, it says, for that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
That's
and so
explaining. Yeah.
It explains it. Whenever it says that a man who's born of the water, it's talking about a man who's born of the flesh. You know, a woman, oh, my water broke.
Yep.
Not mine. But that's what they say, I hear.
Yeah, right. That's what they say.
I'm sure I'll hear that someday, too. My wife is probably have kids someday. And so, I mean, that's one of the most major ones that I hear. And at that one, and saying that Noah was saved by water when Noah was not even in the water. He was in a boat.
Right.
So, I mean, just some of the different ideas that they have. And it's, I mean, there's just so many examples where Christ saved people without, you know, without water in the first place. Thief on the cross, one of the first ones, you know.
Yep. All right. So, yeah. So, Church of Christ and Church of Christ Latter-day Saints are two absolutely totally different groups. Church of Christ Latter-day Saints.
Ride bicycles.
Yeah, and wear a little badge that says elder when they're 17 years old. That is basically a branch off the Mormons. Now, the that best website to do research on that would be UTLM, Utah Lighthouse Mission, utlm.org. That's a great website dealing with Mormons and Mormonism, what they believe and stuff like that. Just really some crazy things that they believe. I don't know how anybody can have a brain and be a Mormon, but oh well.
There's the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are two of the most perplexing like groups that I can think of. I honestly, with you, I don't understand how anybody who has ever even cracked a Bible could fall for any of that like doctrinal stuff that they teach. It's just, wow.
Anyway, Rollo, to answer your question, or Polo, Polo, to answer your question, no, they are not the same. I think they're both wrong. So they're the same in that they're both wrong.
Yeah.
But they're not the same group. Okay?
We got a couple of books, actually, that people can check on our website, drdiner.com, the shopping section. We have books on Mormonism and how to effectively convert a Mormon over to Christianity.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they're very dedicated people.
Right.
Make a fantastic Christian if you just
make good neighbors.
Straight.
They won't steal from you, generally.
Mm-hmm.
Because they go to hell if they do. So they're good neighbors. Okay, let's see. Doug1243 writes, I think you have the world record for the longest cough. About a week ago, I listened to the show, and were you coughing back then? Oh, Doug, it is worse than that. It has been like 5 weeks now. It is sinus drainage. We have tried everything. I'm in a different climate every day. I was in Bakersfield, California this morning, for instance. You know, I mean, I'm just Houston a couple hours ago. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
I wonder what percentage of the last 18 years or so of your life have been spent 33,000 feet up in the air.
A lot. A whole lot.
I mean, you talk about how you're in like a different climate. You're like in a whole different, you know, world. I
yeah,
mean,
it changes.
33,000 feet up in the air most of the day.
Got to fly right smack over the top of the Salton Sea. Got a really good view of that 35-mile-long, you know, saltwater body at the southern end of California today. Had a great trip.
Have you ever tasted that the salt water that's in the bottle over here?
One drop. Have you tasted it?
No, I don't think I want to either. I smelled it.
It's from the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
You get one drop of that on your tongue, you will remember it for all day.
I can't stand getting ocean water in my mouth.
Well, this is 11 times saltier than ocean water, I believe. You can pick it up. The bottle's real heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You swam in the Dead Sea, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I swam in the Great Salt Lake.
You didn't get any of that in your mouth?
Got one drop in my mouth and remembered it for probably 6 or 8 hours.
And put a pucker on your face there?
No, it's absolutely horrible. It's just really horrible. Okay, you're welcome to try it. There's a whole bottle over there if you want.
I'll save that for someone else in the future.
Got a scratch or cut on you any place?
I do. The cat got me right there.
The cat. Okay. I tell you, put some of the salt water on the cat. That will solve your problems.
It's one of many things I'd like to do to that cat.
I understand. All right. Natrobius writes in, do you believe Christians will be here during the 7-year reign of the Antichrist? Oh, boy. Where are you at on that, Jonathan? We've been all around the bush.
I don't think this Antichrist reigns for 7 years. I think he reigns for probably about 3.5. Might be wrong on that, but I don't think that we're going to be here for the tribulation. I mean, if you look at a lot of the different examples, for instance, my wife and I were just reading Revelation the other day, and the Lord called John up into heaven before the things took place, and before you know God's wrath was poured out. I don't think that you could tell a Christian that we're not going to be here for tribulation, because you can't tell that to all the Christians. I mean, we got a guy just recently over in, or not recently, about 15 years ago, who converted to Christianity from Islam. And
yeah,
that guy's going through some very serious tribulation. And thankfully, I mean, they finally said that we're going to let this guy go. Not enough evidence to, convict him or whatever. But it's an interesting subject. There's probably more views than answers on that. You get the amillennialists, the premillennialists.
I know. I am premillennial and pre-trib, but I've always said I don't know that I can prove my position. I think I could come close to proving it, but
there's a lot of verses that are pretty clear. But, I mean, you know, for instance, God's children are not destined for wrath. What does that mean? I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
Does it mean that we're not going to be here for the tribulation? I mean, is the tribulation... from my understanding, it's not going to be real bad until God's wrath is poured out. I mean, I might be wrong on that, but...
Yeah, God's children are not appointed to wrath, you know, but I don't... Yeah, you're right. I'm definitely pre-wrath, and I think I'm pre-trib.
That's my position. I definitely don't think we're going to be here whenever all hell breaks loose, basically.
Yeah.
But there's maybe a chance. I don't know.
All right. Arenta Merlin writes in, first I want to say thank you for helping strengthen my faith in God's word. I planned on becoming a history teacher and recently have felt God leading me into science. I debate creation versus evolution frequently and get into quite a lot of trouble, as usual. Ethos-based attacks on the common, well, you don't believe in mainstream science, so you don't know anything. The more I debate on the topic, the more I love science. I loved it before I was a Christian and had actually been atheist evolutionist then. Now that I see God's word in harmony with science, it has been growing within me. So I switched my major to science. My first question, and please tell me if it's cheating to have more than one, do you think it's a wise decision? Our country desperately needs more science teachers. Yep. No, I think it's a good decision. Science teachers who believe the Bible.
We need science teachers. Right now we just have indoctrinators, you know, littering the education system. Whatever I got to say to get my paycheck, you know, it's not good. I mean, we got people like Roger DeHart, for instance, who wanted to speak up and just bring in secular magazines. And I think you've actually met Roger DeHart before, right?
I've spoken to him. Never met him. I don't think so.
But here's the guy who wanted to actually educate the children, which is not something we see a whole lot nowadays.
Right.
And he was wanting to do that by bringing in secular magazines saying we don't, you know, the secular sources saying that the secular sources shouldn't use these secular theories that they used to use in the past. And the school said, no, you can't do that because it might cause children to doubt evolution. And this is not a religious material that he's bringing in. I mean, today we do not have educators. We don't have science teachers. We have just indoctrinators.
Somebody told me yesterday in California that they're from South Carolina, and South Carolina is working on passing a law that says it is illegal to question evolution in the science classes. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Have you seen something on the news?
I mean, it's already, you know, blasphemous to question it. I mean, why not pull it into the legal realm where if you do it, then, you know, chop your feet off.
Oh, man. So anyway, to answer your question, yes, we need Christian science teachers in there. And I mean science teachers who are Christian. Okay. Second, I'm wondering why you go about teaching the subject because of restrictions, which will be very great by the time I become a teacher. I don't want to teach lies. I want to teach students to be able to comprehend what they are learning rather than memorization, called the drill method. I have read some of the ideas in the seminar notebook and watched the series. Any help would be great. Sorry again for the technical difficulties. My name is Jessica, and I'm currently attending University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Well, good. Yes, UT, Tennessee, Chattanooga, they need some help. I'll be glad to come up there and debate all their professors who believe in evolution, if you'd like. Here, Jonathan, you want to teach him, too, just in case we got a backup, a little less technical learning curve here, with Leia on the switchboard. All right, Joseph can learn all that, too. Okay, let's see, Leia, let's see, Ertenmeyer also writes in, I've watched the Loose Change video. I'm listening to your program live. Thank you. Appreciate it. That Loose Change video is good. Have you seen that one, Joseph? Loose Change, about the 9/11 towers and about all the things that were just never resolved there. Like, why were the Twin Towers, you know, like 50 or 60% empty? I mean, rent was way down. They were not renting out all the spaces. And so the guy had a... Okay, there we go. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. We're going through all the technical details here on how to get this thing going with a couple of new folks at the switchboard. And you're welcome to join us on the program. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and we believe the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. There has never been a dumber idea than to tell the kids they all came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago. I don't know how they can possibly believe that, but hey, they do. And so you can call us and join us on the program. We think we got it working where you can call in 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. And if you call, we take those first and then instant messages second. And then you can email us at drdino.com is our website. Okay, and let's get back to the messages here. Where'd we leave off? Howdy, here to... Ken Hovind. Good. Here to join us on the program? Observe. Have a seat. Okay, our radio audience just doubled in size by one more person. Okay.
Dr. Tollett?
What kind of doctor are you? Net medicine. Vet medicine. Oh, all right. Good to have you here. Okay. Let's see. We're taking questions here. This one's from Bishop388. Could Satan have planted the tree of knowledge of good and evil? I would say no. I don't believe so. I think God created everything. So that would violate that scripture. God created all, including the tree of knowledge of good. Nothing wrong with knowledge. Just if you choose evil, that's what's bad, and that's what they did. Okay? Here we go. Gideon 524 writes, can I get that videotape? I collect 9/11 stuff. Okay. Infowars.com, FromTheWilderness.com, InPlainSight.com, Let'sRoll911.com. I just watched one today, Jonathan, on the airplane coming home, titled 9/11, The Great Illusion.
Man, is that one?
It's lousy quality video, but it is amazing stuff. It's like, so far I'm up to question number 60 that somebody needs to ask George Bush.
Did you hear about the recent, I guess, developments in the media? Charlie Sheen from all those different things that he's done. He does that TV show, 2.5 Men. But Charlie Sheen now is incredibly suspicious. He was on the Alex Jones radio show, and then he was on CNN. And then Alex Jones was on CNN talking about Charlie Sheen because he's pretty suspicious.
You ought to be suspicious. Why did George Bush know the tower got hit before, somebody walks up, whispers in their ear, the tower got hit, still goes in, spends 26 minutes listening to kids read about a pet goat, then goes out, spends 29 more minutes before he puts the military on alert.
It was a good story. The pet goat.
The pet goat must have been a good story.
I wouldn't leave that thing for the world.
George Bush knew full well he knew it before it happened. Why was he put on that anthrax drug, a month before the anthrax scare even came out?
How come his cough in the back of his throat?
I tell you, and all the financial ties, then it's just, it all goes back to the money. This one really shows it good, the video here. Yeah, I love my country. I fear my government, but I love my country. Okay, here we go. Gideon 524 writes in, I don't know how often Dr. Ovin mentions 9/11 in his lecture. I know he focuses on evolution, but if he ever needs info on that or wants someone to speak on it, call me. I've studied it nonstop since it happened and can recite 9/11 facts in my sleep. Plus, it's a subject that immediately grabs people's attention. I'll shut up now. Can I make one small suggestion? If he's going to mention 9/11, I've heard the military escorting the planes into the towers, but haven't seen much evidence of it. Talk about the Pentagon being hit by a hit, not Flight 77. Explosives in the towers, NORAD standing down that morning. Stuff can be backed up by a ton of info. I agree. Be careful about what other issues don't have much evidence, such as the object attached to the bottom of Flight 175. Okay. Well, Gideon, thanks. You're welcome to call into the program. Listen to anything you got to say on that. I'm interested. I'm for truth. I'm for truth and against error. End of story. Okay? I want the truth. The truth is, I think some folks in our government knew what was happening and wanted it to happen. And I think the more we learn, the more we ought to be real suspicious of our leadership. And it's the Founding Fathers knew that and planned it that way. They were scared. They were scared of government because they knew governments become evil. Okay, Neil writes in. Hi, I love your videos. Neil L., I'm sorry. Here's my question. In Genesis 24, it says in the King James Version, Rebecca received earrings. However, in other translations, it specifies nose ring. In verse 22, it says a ring in King James where earrings would indicate two. Please let me know. Thanks, and keep looking up, except when you walk in Christ, Neil. Okay, Neil, I think the King James is absolutely correct. It was earrings. I think to say they put a ring on her face or nose ring would be ludicrous, okay? I think you just pick it up and say, hi, Leah. Leah's brand new on the phone. This is her first phone call to answer, so whoever's calling in, be a little patient while we figure it out. Okay, we're trying to calculate how to run all this. And Joseph, there should be two buttons. Do not hang it up. Set the phone off to the side. And you push two buttons. Caller, let's see if this will work. And the white one. Hello, can you hear us okay on the phone there?
Yes.
Hey, we got it. Leah, you did it. That's all there is to it. First button and she survived. Okay, now who's calling?
My name is Leif. I called last week.
Da, from Norway. Vorden står det til I dag.
Okay, great.
That's all I know. I got to learn some more Norwegian.
Yeah, you got to increase your vocabulary.
Let's see, I know Jaelskerde and Ufta and Ufta.
Yes.
Anyway, what's up, Leif? How's the things in Norway?
Oh, right now it's dark outside. Midnight,
no. Yeah.
It's 1 a.m. actually, because it's just got to summertime here.
All right.
Well, I had some things I wanted to ask you and about the time of the flood.
Okay.
I've been an avid listener to Kolbe and his teaching. And I noticed there is a little bit of differences between why the flood actually occurred, what happened. You have your theory about the comet coming and hitting the Earth.
Right.
But why is that? What got you on the track to think of a comet?
Well, there was a book put out years ago by a guy named, I think it was Don Patterson. There are two Don Pattersons in creation movement. This guy lived in Oregon, and the book is called The Biblical Flood and the Ice Epic. It was a really good book dealing with that topic, going through some of the anomalies we see on the Earth that would be best explained by an outer space ice meteor, you know, 300, 400 below zero, striking the Earth. So I guess I'd have to blame him for planting the seed in my mind. And then as I studied all the different evidences that we're trying to explain, excuse me, I think the ice comet theory and Walt Brown's hydroplate theory are probably supplementary and are the best to explain the geology we see today. Okay?
Okay. I have some, I have written down something because I've seen some videos of Kolbe over and over and over again some years ago. I've probably seen them 30 or 40 times.
Okay.
So it's quite much memorized what he taught about that. And I'd like, if I can use some minutes to just give some answers or just give some other explanation.
Sure. We got 3 minutes till break, so talk fast.
Well, in the Genesis 6:5, it says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, continually. That was before the flood.
Right.
And in Genesis 1:9, when God said that let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and the dry land appear, and it was so, and God called the dry land earth. And the earth, Hebrew word for earth is eretz. E-R-E-T-Z.
Mm-hmm.
I probably use more time if you can give me some more time after the break.
Sure.
But thank you. So God called the dry land earth. And that is the tangible land you can touch and feel. It's not just like a nation. It's there, a physical earth.
Right.
And in Genesis 6:11-13, it says, the earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth, the physical earth, the Eretz earth, was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, Eretz, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth, Eretz, the physical earth, is filled with violence.
Right.
Slew them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So it seems like the earth itself was vibrating with a kind of violence because of the wickedness of man. Doesn't the Bible say in the New Testament that all creation groans and travails together for the manifestation of the children of light?
Right. Yeah, it seems to be affecting the earth itself. I would agree. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Kolbe tried this in an experiment with an egg in a microwave oven to try to simulate what happens. And they saw when the egg was heated up, it tilted and it jerked just before it cracked.
Wow, hang on. We got break your time here. This is interesting. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Leif, and appreciate you hanging in there. We'll be back in 2 minutes, folks. Thanks a lot. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. I got to do my own date today. What is this? March 27th of 06. And Leia is over there learning how to run the switchboard because Robert's in California with his family. He stayed out there with a day extra when he went out there with me to this last meeting. And Joseph, are you learning everything too? Trying. Okay. Joseph's getting the hang of it over there. And our studio audience doubled in size as Dr. Tollett came down to visit. Good. Okay, Leif, still there from Norway.
Hello.
Yes, sir, Leif. Yeah. You're telling about Dr. Ball's experiment with the egg vibrating just before it exploded. You're thinking that the earth itself is feeling the effects of man's sin? Is that basically the...
That's basically it. The reasons why the fountains of the deep broke up.
Oh, that's what broke the fountains instead of an ice meteor.
Yes.
Ah. Interesting.
Yes. He goes on to say on this seminar that I have in the video that, it goes a bit far into what people would call New Age, but there is more to creation than what people have discovered.
I would agree.
The thoughts of man may have, and it seems like it does have, influence over matter, physical matter, because matter is made out of light. Light, God says, light being, and matter responds to words. And it seems like the thoughts and imaginations of the heart and mind of people when it was only evil continually had such a devastating effect upon the physical earth that it was about to explode. And then when it exploded, when the fountains of the deep broke up, God simply pulled back his hand of protection. It's like he said it was like a Chernobyl going off, because the internal structures of the earth was like a radioactive nuclear reactor.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a Chernobyl reaction that really happened. That was why the true north and the magnetic north became divided.
Okay, that interesting.
When the earth jerked and to and fro because of that internal explosion in the core of the earth.
Hmm. Well, Dr. Ball is a pretty smart man.
Yeah, and he also said there is greater evidence of marks on the one side of the moon than the other, which means that the meteorite that comes down on the moon must have happened very rapidly.
Right. Definitely very different crater patterns on one side of the moon. I would agree. And that's why I think the idea of a meteor strike, or like Walt Brown thinks, when the fountains of the deep broke open, that's what shot everything up.
Yeah, but listen to this. This is also from Cole Ball. When the earth did, the fountains did break up, and the canopy did break up, then the microwave, I'm it feels a little bit nervous to speak on the phone here, so excuse me.
Your English is very good, much better than my Norwegian.
Yeah, thank you. Much microwave energy escaped from the earth through when the canopy disappeared, and that actually vibrated asunder the planet that now is the asteroid field.
Hmm.
There is a lot of interesting stuff on that, and it makes sense when I see it, when I listen to that seminar.
Sure. Have you seen Walt Brown's book in the beginning?
Yeah, I've seen his website, but not any videos.
Yeah, he does not believe in the canopy, and I think he's wrong about that, and I've told him so. But he's really got some good stuff on hydroplate and how that the water hammer effect of 10 miles of rock on top of the water under the crust of the earth would have actually shot rocks up into space that became the comets and asteroids. The comets. And so,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see when we get to heaven. Watch the videotape.
Yeah. I just wanted to give you input on this.
okay.
Very fascinating.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Lee. All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Hang up the black phone there, Leah. Just the black one. There we go. Don't hang up the white one or we're all going to die. Everything's going to blow up. Okay. Okay, now we're taking questions here. Dr. Dino Live is AOL Instant Message, DrDinoLive, or you can call us, 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466, extension 136. Okay, Tin and Snowy writes in, hey, what should I say to someone who denies the Holocaust? Oh, boy, I don't know. 6 million people die. Anybody that would deny the Holocaust, I would think, would need their head examined. man. You might want... I would say Proverbs, 14:7 or 7:14? I just want to try those two. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. I think you need to get away from somebody like that. They're not too bright. Okay, here we go. Batboy79 writes in, are you people really as uneducated and ignorant as you appear to be? Batboy, I don't understand this here. Are you people really as uneducated and ignorant as you appear to be? How do you answer a question like that? Do I appear to be ignorant and uneducated? Dr. Tollett, you say, I know I do not appear to be ignorant and uneducated. I went to school for a long time. I'm still studying stuff all the time. Ignorant, uneducated. Bat Boy, you need to sharpen their question just a little bit and put a little thought behind it and send in a specific, like exactly what is it that we're uneducated or ignorant about? Are you talking about the age of the Earth? Are you talking about dinosaurs? Are you talking about carbon dating? I mean, give me a specific I can sink my teeth into, because what you just sent was what's called a generic accusation against which there is no defense, okay? It's like somebody saying you're ugly. That's not specific. You know, you mean my hair's messed up? I didn't brush my teeth? I mean, what's ugly? Okay, be specific. Okay, try again, Bat Boy. Sigurd writes in, do you have some explanations of why trilobites and ammonites have become extinct? Why wouldn't they be able to survive after the flood? Oh, first of all, I'm not convinced they are extinct. I think there's some pretty good evidence in the deep trenches there are still trilobites alive. As far as ammonites, I don't know. You might want to talk to Joe Taylor about that at MountBlanco.com. MTBLANCO.com. However, with that said, I would point out the extinction of animals is exactly the opposite of evolution. They are predicting new animals are coming on all the time. The truth is, if animals are extinct, that is the opposite of evolution. So that doesn't help their theory at all. As far as trilobites, I think if you look at like the jar full of Baltic isopods we have in our museum, you'd have to say, you know, that looks just like a trilobite. There may be some still around. So, okay, you mentioned in one of your college courses that science has estimated the Ice Age to be 10,000 years ago based on the retraction of Niagara Falls. Is it correct that that is the only reason? Don't they have other indications? Here in Norway, we still have remnants of the Ice Age as glaciers. Sigurd, however you pronounce it, sorry. My mom spoke fluent Norwegian. My grandfather came straight from Norway, and I just never did learn it. I was too interested in other things as a boy and didn't learn. Had a golden opportunity to learn Norwegian and should have done it. Oh, well. Sorry about that. Anyway, I don't know of any other reason why they have put the Ice Age at 10,000 years ago other than the Niagara Falls. And that comes from Charles Lyell, and he was a liar. So I wouldn't trust him for a second. We cover that, Charles Lyell, on videotape number 4. Okay, Andrew says, prove that everything in the Bible happened. Andrew, prove that everything in the Bible happened. What kind of a statement is that? Prove. There are 31,000 verses in the Bible. Which one would you like me to tackle first, okay? I'm not going to do them all in a 2.5-hour program here. I'll tell you what, if you follow Aristotle's dictum, which says, you know, a critic and a document, if there's a critic of a document, the benefit of the doubt goes to the document. Why don't you prove something in the Bible is not correct, Andrew? Let me put the burden of proof on you. You show me something you think is not correct. Because the Bible stands as true until demonstrated to be wrong. He says, and don't suggest your products that you're making money off of because of weak people. W-E-E-K. Weak people? People that only last 7 days? Andrew, W-E-E-K means 7 days. W-E-A-K means not strong, okay? You need to get a dictionary or thesaurus here, okay? I'll help you out here, son. I'm not making money off of weak people. Dr. Tollett, have you seen our video series?
Absolutely.
And you're a doctor. Are you uneducated? It took you over a week to watch him. Yeah, get the camera. Get him a microphone there, okay? Okay. So are people who believe in creation like me, are all people who believe in this stuff, are they weak? Is that?
Absolutely not. I'm from Auburn University, and I've actually tried to get people to debate you there, and it's hard to find. It's hard to find because either one, they're scared and can't defend their faith, or most scientists do believe in creationism anyway there, which is funny in vet medicine because they understand the complexities of the animal. And
sure.
So most of my contemporaries are actually either creationist or intelligent designist, I guess.
Must be some kind of intelligent designer.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take half a semester of studying any creature to say, wow, this is pretty cool.
Exactly.
Amazing. All right. So, sorry, Andrew, I think you got a proof. I'm going to read the rest of your question here, Andrew, and I'm going to try not to make fun. Okay. Here we go. I'm doing this to make money off of weak people, people that only last 7 days. Okay. If there was actual proof that Christianity is right, it would be widely known, not some secret that somehow just you know. Andrew, there are billions of people who know about Christianity. I mean, hello? There are hundreds of millions who claim to be, you know, Bible-believing Christians. I don't know where you got this, Andrew. Who on earth taught you that? The surveys have consistently shown that over 50% of the American population believes in creation, that the Bible is correct. The earth is not even 10,000 years old, and God did it. 55%, Andrew. So I think you're in the minority here, son. You need to keep studying. When you get done climbing the mountain of truth, we'll be waiting for you at the top. Okay. Carlton Smith writes in, how can we know the Bible is 100% accurate? It was written by three guys who collected stories from all over the world. Carlton, who on earth told you that? The Bible's written by three guys who collected stories from all over the world. Where on earth did you get this? The Bible's written by 40 different authors, over 1,500 years, over three continents, and it has no contradictions. It is a phenomenal book. 31,000 verses and no contradictions. Fabulous. Makes prophecies hundreds of years before they come to pass. It changes lives. I mean, absolutely changes lives. Take your biology book, your evolution book, downtown to the drunks and say, here, I want to teach you about evolution so you can get your life changed. Quit taking them drugs and get back home to your wife and be a good dad. Doesn't change any lives at all, okay? Okay, Carlton goes on to say, could some of them have been lies? You're talking about the Bible, three guys, story. Could some of the stories have been lies? Oh, I suppose so, but the Bible claims to be perfect, which means the burden of proof's on somebody who says it's not. If you know of a problem, please let me know. He says, and if it's true that God controls everything and makes all the rules and can break them if he wants, then why are we following something that wouldn't hesitate to kill his own children because they were bad? Who kills their own children for misbehaving? How can God be like this? I'll end it here. Well, first of all, thank you for ending it, Carlton. That is so wonderful, okay? God doesn't kill his own children for misbehaving. You are not even one of his children unless you're saved. You're one of his creatures, one of his creation, but not one of his children until you trust Christ as your Savior. So, yeah, you really need to call in, Carlton. We can help you with this one, okay? Give us a call, 877-479-DINO. Okay, Steve Robinson writes in, there are pastors in our area that have openly attacked our church from their pulpits because we have different colored people who attend our church. The Bible tells me that I am to preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16. They use the Tower of Babel in Acts 17, bounds of habitation, to try to show us to be wrong. My question is, was all the genetics for every color of people in Adam and Eve? Well, yeah, more recent than that. It was in Noah's family. There are four theories of where the races come from. I cover that on videotape number 7 of our series. So, yeah, I think probably the Tower of Babel is the most logical explanation, and there's no reason at all scripturally or scientifically for blacks and whites or any races not to marry. I think there might be some social problems you create for the children that maybe you ought to consider, you know, like maybe, hey, this is not worth all the social problems it's going to create, but, you know, I'm not against it. We had a black and white couple worked here for quite a while. Robbie and his wife, Cheryl, they were college graduates, loved the Lord, got four kids, and he was a black person with blue eyes. Really strange. Great guy. Bodybuilder, big muscular guy, could do the Iron Cross on the rings, you know. Not many folks can do that. And just a sweet Christian guy. Loved the Lord. So, you know, I told my kids, look, you know, I think there's probably social problems. It's not worth the stigma yet in America. But I spoke in a church yesterday with dozens of black and white couples. I mean, California is no big deal. You know, it's common. So I see no scripture against it. Okay, here we go. Can Chantrey Rodriguez says, can animals like dogs go to heaven? Oh, boy. I don't know. All I see is a couple of verses in the Bible. You're a veterinarian. Can animals go to heaven?
Horses will be in heaven.
Horses will be in heaven. Okay, I can prove that from Scripture. Do animals go to heaven? The only verses I know of about that are the Revelation verses that say there's horses in heaven. Now, what's that mean? There's horses in heaven. Okay, Jesus comes back on a white horse, and there's a gray horse and a dappled horse. And then there's Ecclesiastes, which I don't know if you can trust that as, you know, I mean, it's scripture, but it's really Solomon's wisdom. It's not, and he says so. This is man's view under the sun. Ecclesiastes says there's no difference between a man dies and a dog dies. They both go to the grave. So I don't know. I'm going to say probably. I'm hoping to see all of our pets. I've had over 300 pets, keeping you vets in business. Growing up, I had lots and lots of pets, and I'm hoping they're going to be in heaven. You ever been asked that question, Doc? And what do you tell them? Say, horses are going to be there.
I'm a horse. I'm a horse doctor.
Okay. All right. I met a horse chiropractor. It's a woman. She said she would rub these horses and adjust their back, and they would get so relaxed they would lean on her and nearly kill her. We get closer to the mic there.
Sorry. He's horse massage therapist, and we had one come and speak also the other week. And
a horse massage therapist.
Yeah, and they'll come and rub on. They charge about $150 an hour, and they'll go to the tracks and stuff and actually rub these horses down. And all the people who race horses usually use them.
$150 bucks an hour to give a horse a massage.
A massage. You go to class for about 6 weeks. But what happened down in Florida is a lot of people got in trouble because you. In Florida, you have to be a veterinarian now to practice that type of stuff. So a lot of people are doing it under the table and calling it religion, like
holistic
horse religion. Yeah.
We're going to get your horse close to God. Uh-huh. I don't know about any of that. All right. Okay, anyway, so let's see. Chantry. That's a good question. Here we go. Julia Marie 1111 says, why don't more people listen to you? That's a good question. That's the problem when you're right on everything. I mean, everybody ought to be listening, right? All right. Let's see. Henry Kim writes in, what should a creationist say whenever an evolutionist talks about separation of church and state? I would say, show me that in the Constitution and hand them a copy of, there's a little booklet called Citizens Rule Book. It's got the whole Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and a great section on jury duty. Huh. That everybody ought to read. And it's a $1. Have you seen that Citizens Rule Book?
Yeah.
It's fabulous. And I would say, have them read that and say, show me the separation of church and state in the Constitution. I'd like to see this, please. It's not there. That phrase came from a letter Thomas Jefferson wrote to some Baptist pastors in Connecticut, the Danbury Association. Thomas Jefferson said there's a wall of separation between church and state, but the Constitution doesn't say it. And if there's a wall, it's a one-way wall where the wall keeps the government out of the church, but does not keep the church out of the government. I mean, look at the Founding Fathers' documents. It mentioned God and Christianity all through there. So I would tell the evolutionists to say, show me where that says that. Here's my Constitution. Show me. They won't be able to. Nadia writes in, what is the difference between synthetic vitamins and organic vitamins? How do I know which ones to buy? Break time. Nadia, we'll be back right after the break, and it's a tough question. Let's see if Doc's got an answer on that. We'll be back, folks, in about 2 minutes. See you then. There. Okay, good. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Ken Hoven, Robert, if you're in California listening, do not leave us again, okay? We got Joseph, our techno wizard, and Leia, our librarian, trying desperately to push all these buttons over here to make this thing work. You got it all figured out, Leia? Pretty.
Yes.
You got it. Okay. And we're taking questions. Somebody just called, and then they rang a couple times, and you said hello, and they thought, can't be the right number. Nobody says hello. You know, they say Truth Radio.
Truth Radio.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, Ken Hoven and a whole crew here trying to figure this out, and we are live March 27th of 06. We defend the position the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. There has never been a dumber idea. Okay.
Nadia. We were at Nadia.
Yeah, I'm going to read that in a second. We've been looking out the window. We're expecting any minute for the police to come to close down our two buildings that we've been fighting the county for 5 years over with building permits. They have announced they're going to come close the buildings down. I'm sure there'll be a great show of force, and so I may have to say, hey, folks, I'll be back in a minute. I got to go answer some questions. So, what a mess. Be praying for that situation. The county just doesn't seem to get it. You know, crucifixions have to be public in order to have the desired effect and scare the population, and that's all they know is, you know, so Anyway, pray for them, if you would. We got about 10 buildings here. The Science Center and Museum that have been used by 60,000 people now with no incidents in 5 years, but we didn't get their permit. We told them you can come inspect. We even had them inspected. And said, no, that's not good enough. So anyway, be praying for that situation. If I have to leave, that's what it's about. So Nadia asked a question. What is the difference between synthetic vitamins and organic vitamins? How do I know which ones to buy? Well, I think my understanding is synthetic vitamins are man's attempt in the laboratory to duplicate what God did in nature, and therefore they may have a stimulant effect without having the nourishing effect. You can stimulate your heart to beat faster with drugs, or you can stimulate it with synthetic vitamins. It's more of a stimulant than a nutrient. And so you might actually see a desired effect with a synthetic vitamin, but I don't think you'd see the long-term effect. I don't think man in the laboratory can do as good as God did in the real world. Okay, Jason Harrison writes in, what is the difference between Masons and Shriners? Is there anything wrong with the Gideon's Bible? Ooh, three questions. Masons and Shriners, I don't know. My understanding is that the Shriners are a higher, more advanced Mason. maybe slightly different. But, yeah, I don't know. You probably want to go to, who's the website that deals with Masons? Chick.com, C-H-I-C-K. He's got good stuff on there. Chick, like chicken. Chick.com, Jack Chick. Chick.com. Let me get a few of these done here, and Leah, if we get time, we'll get some testimonies in there. We didn't get any. You got some good ones? You got a frowny face.
Yeah, I got two good ones.
Two good ones, okay. Oh, and he says, is there anything wrong with the Gideon's Bible? The Gideon's organization is fabulous. Some of the Bibles they produce are not King James, and I would really, you know, take exception to that. I think those are lousy. But I think the King James Bibles, they produce literally millions and millions, and those are wonderful. So I have slowly been dragged kicking and screaming into the King James camp. Okay. Freelancer writes in, I heard once that an archaeology dig unearthed the signs of a Middle Eastern settlement in North America. Is there any fact to this? Probably. Richard Reeves would know that. Richard, if you're listening, he's up in south of Nashville, Tennessee. He gets into archaeology a lot. His website is wyattmuseum.com. You might want to ask Richard that question. I don't know. My understanding is some Hebrew coins were found in Ohio in a burial mound, in an archaeological dig, which would make you wonder, how did Hebrew coins from the time of Christ end up in a burial mound in, you know, Ohio? So, yeah, I'm going to give that a qualified probably. Okay. Oliver Cohn says, I'm a Christian, but I have a question. If the mammoths died before the flood, did the chunk of ice that they were in float around until the waters went down, or did they freeze after the flood? I covered that in video 6, but there's ice up against the North and South Pole. I mean, water up against the North and South Pole ice right now. If you get a thick enough piece of ice, it doesn't float. It just pushes its way all the way to the bottom. So if you had, you know, ice a mile thick, it would just, the water wouldn't be able to lift it. So I think, I don't know. It may have lifted it and even sedimentation underneath and then settled back down. Good. And I don't know that it was just ice. It might have been ice and mud and a combination, a slurry of slush that they froze in. Walt Brown and I would have to differ on that just a little bit. He says they froze because of super cold mush, slush falling out of the sky from the fountains of the deep breaking open, as opposed to an ice meteor. I think my theory answers a lot of questions, and if it turns out to be wrong, hey, it's just a theory. That's what you do. You start with a theory, and then you put the meat on the bones. Okay, Leah, you're chomping at the bit to read one of those before I take this next one here.
All right, the Jesse L. Coburn writes, if whales can have hind legs that do not protrude through the skin because they are no longer needed, why is it so hard for people to accept that that is exactly what the coccyx is, an appendage that is no longer used?
Wait, who's writing this?
Jesse.
Jesse thinks the coccyx is no longer used.
Uh-huh.
Jesse, you need to read Gray's Anatomy, bottom shelf right over here. There are 9 little muscles that attach to your coccyx, okay? They support your colon. If you take your coccyx out, you are probably going to have a colostomy. They are holding the nerves and the bones the muscles at the bottom end of your spine. They are important in posture. There are other functions they are used for, but I won't tell you what they all are, okay? So if you think it is vestigial and unnecessary, Jesse, I will pay to have yours removed. Doc, you ever get into that?
You've already had that. Sorry. I think he makes that offer too often. So I'll go ahead and spot you on this one, and I'll pay for hers. But no, it happens all the time in university. People saying vestigial organs, with the appendix and the coccyx. But no, you make it. It's right. There are muscles.
Yeah, I would point out, first of all, there are no vestigial organs. Number two, if there were, that's still the opposite of evolution. That's losing, not gaining. An appendix? The appendix is part of the immune system. If you take it out, you can still live, okay? You can also live without both your legs, both your arms, both your eyes, and both your ears. Does not prove you don't need it.
Right.
Okay.
And then he says, is it harder to believe evolution or that Noah actually built a great big boat and gathered up two of every animal on Earth and floated around until the waters receded?
Oh, it's much harder to believe in evolution. That everything evolved from a rock? That's much harder. Much, much, much harder. For me, anyway. Go ahead.
What about the animals in the North and South America? Two continents that weren't even discovered until 500 or 600 years ago.
Yeah, what about them? I think there are animals in North and South America. I would agree.
In the Amazon forest alone, there are about 10,000 different species of ants in a square mile. Also, how could Noah determine...
I think that's great. I think they like ants down there. That's good. What's that have to do with evolution?
Also, how could Noah determine the sexes of so many various animals?
Well, who says Noah had to determine the sexes? The Bible says God brought them to him, male and female. So it's God's problem.
The fact of the matter is people are becoming more and more skeptical of ID and the various other schemes that Christianity tries to push off on people.
I would disagree. I think more and more people are becoming skeptical of evolution. Anybody believes they came from a rock, I mean, people ought to be skeptical of that whole idea, okay? As far as skeptical of ID, I'm not part of the intelligent design movement as far as, you know, the group of folks that say the Earth is probably billions of years old, but it was designed. I don't fight those guys. I think what they're doing is okay, but I'm not part of that. I even know who the intelligent designer was. Know him personally. Talk to him all the time. Go ahead, Leah.
And then he says, it's a dying cause that cannot stand up to scrutiny. It'll die in the long run along with Christianity. Christians cannot accept that we are species among many others that just so happen to be living on a rather insignificant world. I personally can't think of anything more beautiful.
I agree we're living on a beautiful world. I believe that's evidence of a designer. And somebody's trying to call in. Joseph, are you able to actually get a hold of him? What's that? They're not?
Yeah, if you call in, we'll get you, but I don't know what's happening with the last two calls.
Somebody called and nobody there? Okay, well, maybe there's a problem on our end. Are you supposed to push some other button when they call or just pick up the phone? Okay. Well, if you're having trouble, we're sorry. Trying. Instant messages today. Robert, get back home. Okay. All right, one more, Leah. Go ahead.
Okay, and the last one is Pietman V.D. Walt. I've watched some of your seminars, and I believe what you say. You converted me. Thanks.
Hey, yay. Well, good. We like doing that. We want to get I don't want to convert him. I want the Lord to convert him, but that's good. Okay, here we go. Jason, I did that. Shriners, Gideon's Bible, Freelance, Archaeological, Oliver, did that. Doug, 1243. Doug writes in, oh, I must have said that thing about the cough wrong. I meant to type, I heard a show from January when you were coughing. Oh, that's correct. Sorry about that. There we go. Yeah, I've been coughing a while. Jack Hiles coughed for probably 25 years while he preached. Just people that talk a lot, like I do, are kind of hard on their throat. It just kind of makes a problem. Okay. Here we go. Question. Would it be a sin to drink something like an energy drink to get hyper? I've heard something about not altering your mind, but I'm not sure on the topic. I've also heard that drinking soda was a sin, but never shown any verses. And that same Christian said that drinks lots of soda. P.S. Does Kent Hovind exist? Does Kent Hovind exist? I believe so on the last one. Okay, I'll give that a definite yes. Okay, as far as drinking soda, it's certainly not good for you, but it tastes awful good, and I don't think it's a sin. It might be unwise. You know, but not a sin. I wouldn't classify that as a sin. Maybe just not. See, there's dumb sin and there's wicked sin. Okay, that would be more in the dumb. If it's a sin, it's a dumb sin. Energy drink to get hyper. Oh boy, they don't give racehorses energy drinks to get them to go faster, do they, Doc?
They give them the
energy feed. They do, really? It makes them go faster in the race. Okay, and it lasts what? A couple hours, and then.
Yeah, they give it to them before it lasts. Just enough for them to run about the
Just enough for them to run the mile, and then they're all petered out. Okay, good. Here we go.
The horses are in heaven.
Horses are in heaven, yeah, so they can run forever. Okay, here we go. Tim Eagle writes in, here's a website that could offer that offers cold-pressed fruit and vegetable pills that were discussed last week. JPForBetterHealth.com with the number 4. JP, number 4, BetterHealth.com. Cold-pressed fruit and vegetable pills. Yeah, we're talking about different kinds of vitamins and minerals. And interesting. Okay, I haven't checked out the site. Don't know if I can recommend it, but you check it out yourself. Amanda writes in, and we're trying. We got 1,000 instant messages today. Folks, we're trying to get through them all. Amanda writes in, I can't quite remember what seminar video you cover this topic on, but I came across an article this morning on MSNBC.com. It's about a group of Christians that were coming together to fight global warming and bring the government into the entire fiasco. That's just what you need, is to bring the government into something. Wow, that'll solve the problem. Man. That's not going to fix it. Okay. Christians coming together to fight global warming. Go for it. The cause of it is probably government intervention. Okay, Cassie writes in, how old is Kent Hovind? 53. The oldest I've ever been. Rob says, please let me know where in the Bible different races came from. Rob, I don't think anybody can point you to the verse. However, there are 4 theories. I covered that in video 7. The most logical theory seems to be that the races are a result of the 3 sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The book of Isaiah says Ham, or Egypt is the land of Ham. So that would be the black races settled in Africa, descending from Ham. And Shem is the father of the Orientals, and Japheth is the father of the Europeans. And since then, there's been a whole lot of mixing going on. And so probably 3 original races would be, you know, Oriental, black, and white. And since then, a lot of in between. Partially, you know. Okay, let's see. But that's just the best theory I know of. The Bible isn't real dogmatically clear, so don't be dogmatic on it. Okay, E.E. Creationist writes in, why do the 2 lineages of Jesus in Matthew and Luke go back from Joseph, who had no physical ties to Jesus? Shouldn't it go back from Mary? Ah, good question. Well, the 2 lineages, if you read Matthew and Luke, the genealogies go from David, King David, down to through 2 different sons, down to 1 to Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, and it says so clearly in Matthew, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Christ. The other one goes straight to Mary. So there are 2 different genealogies there, and they are tracing. One is tracing the priestly line, and the other is the kingly line. So Jesus had the right from his mother and his stepfather to be the high priest of Israel and to be the king of Israel. He was the direct descendant of David on the right side. So it goes through 2 different boys of David. You can read that. If you look at, you'll notice it switches right at King David to the 2 different sons that David had. Okay, Will writes, I only hope to be able to do half the things you do when I grew up. I'm 14 years old, and you have changed my life dramatically with your seminars. Thank you. Well, good. I was 16 before I got started, Will, so you got to do way more than half of that. You got a jump start, man. Go for it. Here we go. Lance says, when are more of your DVDs, of your debates coming out on DVD? Lance, we have 20 of them on DVD. I can't find opponents. They won't debate me. Would you defend the idea that we all came from a rock? They don't seem to want to do that. So Auburn has a lot of Christian teachers. This is, or, you know, creationist teachers.
They do have a lot, but just, yeah, they're not overabounding.
They're not overabounding. Okay, but they've got some creationist teachers at Auburn. I've spoken at Auburn twice at the Baptist Student Union or something like that.
Yeah, I tried to get you there one time, and I guess you just left. So
okay.
And now I'm trying to get more, and I think they've had enough of you. So
they've had enough? I'm one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Why on earth would they do that? Joseph, is there a problem with the phone? Is it? Well, maybe you have to push that button on the box to make the phone work. I mean, is that part of the system? I don't know. You're the techno guy. He's going to call in from the cell phone. So if you're trying to call, we apologize. Robert's gone. Jonathan went home. He's got the ring in his nose. I mean, on his finger now, and he's married. And you got a fiance, right, Doc? And you're going to...
Yeah.
I actually married my fiance years ago.
Yeah, I hope to marry my next
okay,
year.
Good. Good. You will discover that 2 can live as cheap as 1, but only for half as long.
Yes.
That's the problem, okay? Okay. There. Coach Runner says, I emailed this to you, but I didn't
But I did these both because I'm really confused and need help. I don't know what to do about my teacher at school. He has this pencil that says, Jesus is like this pencil. He has no point. You have a teacher that has a pencil like that? I think that would be discrimination. Oh, not on the phone, Leah. Push the button down on the box on the underneath. Yeah, that one. No, over there, the right side. Keep going. Way over there. There we go. There. Now, does that work? Can you hear me now? It's a cell phone commercial. We don't know how to work it, folks. Sorry about that. So if you're calling in, I guess we'll have to say the phones are not working today. Okay.
Nope.
I hear him on the radio. Hey, Joseph, how you doing there? You're calling in to test it out. Hi, Joseph. Break time. We'll test it out during the break. We'll be back and get your questions in just a minute. Okay, bye. I believe we're back on. There we go. Nope. Now you shut me off, didn't you? No, I'm back on. Okay. You got them all on? John's? Mics? Yeah, all the mics are on. Yay. Welcome back, folks. Sorry for the confusion. I've been doing this program 2.5 years. I never have learned about all the buttons to push. I'm going to have to work on that one of these days. I don't want to learn that.
Doesn't look too hard.
I got enough to learn.
Except the phone part.
The phone part is, I'm sorry, we're not able to fix it, folks. I guess you can't call. Robert, get back here tomorrow. You can join us on the program, Robert. We'll know what to do. Jonathan knows what to do, but he's home having dinner with his wife. Oh, well. Okay, anyway, you can join us. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. Don't believe there's ever been a dumber idea than to teach the kids you all came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago, but if you believe that, that's fine. Just don't call it science, number one, and don't make me pay to teach that to the kids in school. It's not science, it's nonsense, okay? So, if you want to join us, 877-479-DINO. Well, I don't know, this is not working. You can try, we'll keep working on it. Extension 136. So far, we're not doing too good. We're 0 for 4 on the phone calls. But you can instant message us, and we get in there quickly to the end here. Now, that's Dr. Dino Live, D-R-D-I-N-O-L-I-V-E. Okay, Lance, more debates on DVD. let's see. Oh, the teacher in school says he's got a pencil that says his pencil's like Jesus, it has no point. My friend at school scoffs at her for bringing her Bible to read. So, yeah, I'm thinking that is breaking a law somewhere, but I don't know what should I do and what does God think I should do. Thanks. Okay. Coach Z Runner, would this teacher mock Islam in school? As long as the teacher is being paid by tax dollars, he is a representative of the state. It is illegal for him to mock or ridicule any religion. Absolutely illegal. Here's what I would do. I would do everything in writing. What is spoken means nothing. What is written is what's important in this case, okay? Do everything in writing. And write a little report and say, teacher, I want you to know I think you're out of line mocking Christianity with your pencil or whatever, you know. And then you send them a letter saying, you know, please cease and desist. Please stop doing this. And send a copy of that letter to his boss. You know, for the record, I am, you know, I think what the teacher's doing is wrong and is improper to ridicule my religion. There's a magic phrase you might want to use that often works, saying, I believe that they're discriminating against my religion. So, and then, if you don't get a response from the teacher, you can go take ratchet it up a few notches. Go to the boss's boss, you know, go to the school board, go to the risk management people. Somebody in your county for the school, probably an attorney, manages the risk management. you know, they're the ones who say, look, guys, you're taking a risk here. Do not do this, you know, and so that they will advise them to stop. But anyway, make sure it's in writing. If you have a conversation with them, when you're done with the conversation, put it down in words and say, dear teacher, as per our conversation on such and such a date, it is my understanding that the following things were said. And you know, you write out the conversation. Once you've written it out and sent it in, it is now part of the record. They do not want that, okay? As long as it's spoken, they're fine. And they will try to get you into conversation and say, let's talk. And you say, no, let's write. Let's do this in writing. Okay. Okay, here we go. Abigail Hernandez says, do you believe there's a connection between global warming and the recent hurricanes? Or do you believe that man's sin has caused nature to react against it? I don't believe either of those. I think there have been hurricanes through all of human history, you know, before they had any technology to do that kind of thing. I think we have some technology today, like HAARP technology, that can possibly, you know, steer hurricanes or, you know, accentuate them or something. But I don't know about creating them. Maybe so, but I don't know. I kind of doubt it. Abigail goes on to say, considering that the places most hard hit are the most carnal places. Well, now, you got a point there. The whole world's pretty carnal. I mean, but no, I would not put the hurricanes with the judgment of God. Maybe they are, but I still think it's probably just a natural phenomena that happens because of... We have a caller? No. Okay. You're ready. Push a button. What for? You want to talk? Say hi, Leah.
I read a scripture once that said something in the Old Testament about that the land couldn't handle our sin, so it would vomit us up.
Vomit them out. Spew them out, yeah.
I don't know how that figures in.
Well, maybe it does. Good point. Okay. So is there a connection between global warming and your theory of a canopy or water that was above the earth before the flood? Possibly. Don't know. I think maybe the earth may still be settling in from that flood. You know, it's only been 4,400 years, so the climate changes are probably cyclical, influenced certainly by, you know, a lot of factors besides, you know, not necessarily on the earth. Maybe it's a solar sunspot cycle. Maybe there's a bigger 100-year cycle or 1,000-year cycle having to do with something, you know, in space or something. Oh, who knows? Don't know. Okay, Verbal Abuser writes in, at present, anyone without a credit card living outside the U.S. cannot purchase your materials. When are you going to introduce an international transaction system, as this would thus increase the stretch of the Creation Science Ministry further message further out? Verbal Abuser. I don't know. That would not be something I would handle. That would be the customer service department. So I guess, yeah, you'd have to have a credit card. Or, of course, a quick option is, you know, find a buddy with a credit card and, you know, hand them the cash and then have them order on their credit card. That's a quick fix. That's an immediate fix. And it doesn't answer your question, but it solves the immediate problem. Don't know. Okay, Eric writes in, I recently read an article on Yahoo about how these toads they released prove evolution. They stated that the toads they found farther away from where they released them have longer legs than the toads they originally released. How can they say that proves evolution? I don't know. The toads have longer legs, so that proves evolution. I think maybe it proves the toads with longer legs were able to walk further. That's why they found them further away. It's still a toad, okay? I think it might prove, you know, natural selection, which has nothing to do with evolution. It might prove variation within the kind, which also has nothing to do with evolution. So I don't think it proves, you know, that rocks evolved to toads. Tell them to explain what they mean by that. Okay. Scott Dunkirkton writes in, I have seriously praised God for you, brother, and I'm thankful for your ministry. I'm watching debate 2, and I'm a bit disappointed with some of the things you feel comfortable poking at. You poke fun at Clinton by showing how he transformed from a monkey, and you poke fun of Osama by putting him in 7-Eleven picture. Does the scripture tell us to speak evil of no one, Titus 3, and in various places not to speak evil of dignitaries? Ooh, is Osama and Bill Clinton a dignitary? Now there would be a point of discussion. May you and I strive to be above reproach in all things, and may we have sound speech that cannot be condemned. One who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say. The grace of God be with you, brother. Okay. Well, thank you. And I do understand that and appreciate that. Jesus called Herod a fox. Elijah made fun of the prophets of Baal, said maybe he's sleeping, you know, may cry louder. All through scriptures, you know, God calls people slow of heart, fools, whited sepulchers, you bunch of vipers, you know. So I think there is a place for ridicule and scoffing and mocking. There's a place for it. Maybe I go over the line. I don't know. I don't want to. I definitely want to please God with my life, okay? And actually, yeah, I want him to be pleased. Okay, WC2836 writes in, tell me how the Earth cannot be 3 billion years old. Oh, WC, I cover that on a lot of things, on a lot of reasons for that on video number one, which you can watch right on the website. You can download it, drdino.com. For instance, the moon is getting further away. It's long been known that the moon is receding, and therefore it creates a problem for, you know, those who would like us to believe it is billions of years old. The lunar orbit collapses between 1 and 1.4 billion years ago, just going backwards in time. The moon would, you know, just be sucked into the Earth. Gravity would be way too strong as it gets closer and closer. Gravity becomes much stronger between the two, the attraction. Like two magnets, you move them closer and closer, and all of a sudden, schwap, you can't hold them apart. Okay, is that a new word, schwap? I think so. Here we go. How would you describe two magnets being sucked into each other?
Schwack.
Schwack, is that good enough? Schwack, that's pretty good, okay. I'm going to patent that word. Okay, here we go. Fight for Jesus Today writes in, do things like the redshift, cosmic background radiation, just prove that the universe is expanding, just like God said he did in the Bible? Have we ever actually seen things like black holes, dark matter, and antimatter? And other things they tried to use to explain why there is a massive voids of nothing in space. None of those have ever been seen. They can believe in those if they'd like, but they have never been observed. So, they might say there's evidence for them. Okay, well, that's good. I'd like to see that evidence. And are there other interpretations of that evidence? As far as cosmic background radiation, redshift, I think probably the universe is expanding. I'll give that a probably true. I don't think we know positively what's causing the redshift, but yeah, probably universe is expanding. And what does that mean? I think it's from the 17 times in the Bible where it says God stretched out the heavens. Maybe that's what's causing it. Cover that on video number 7. Kiefer Street writes in, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I read the King James Bible. However, the other day a friend of mine pointed out that in the King James, the sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill, when other versions say, thou shalt not murder. Aren't the other versions more correct when saying murder instead of killing? That is a technicality, I guess. You'd have to, I think most people would understand killing is perfectly fine and acceptable in self-defense. There are two kinds of wars in the world. There are wars of aggression, where you try to take away somebody else's stuff. And there are wars of defense, where you defend yourself from somebody who's trying to take away your stuff, either your life or your wife or your money. So, yeah, wars of aggression, I would say, are wrong, generally wrong, unless God has commanded you for some reason. But wars of defense, self-defense, is just about, in every culture, perfectly acceptable, justified, and fine. Okay, let's see. Oh, I didn't read the one from Johnny, did I? Let me get that in real quick. Good day from the Great White North. This is chiller up here. It's like 1,000 below zero. Question for Dr. Hovind. What was the purpose of showbread in the temple? Is that like a donut shop where you can see it, but it's behind a glass so you don't sneeze on it? The showbread in the temple? I don't know. And why no pork? If an animal's unclean, can't you just wash it? Well, the pork is not unclean on the outside. It's unclean through and through. You know, they eat a lot of junk, and, you know, watch the way a pig eats. And their meat has all kinds of... Well, they didn't even know about trichinosis and hookworm until, what, 100 years ago. God didn't tell them, the Jews, you know, don't eat pork because you're going to get trichinosis. They would say, what is that, you know? He just said, don't eat it, trust me. Now that meat is cured, you know, and most of that's killed, and I think the problem, in when it's properly handled, is problem's probably over. Probably not a problem anymore. Or did they have something against bacon back then? well, I like bacon. I had some yesterday. Okay, hope that helps. Let's see. Is this Doug and Bob writing back and forth? How I ended up with this? I don't know, but they stuck it on my desk, so I read it. Okay. Here we go. Where'd we leave off? Thou shalt not murder. Yeah, I would trust the King James. The longer I live, the more I trust it. The thou shalt not kill, I think, is probably pretty well understood in the context, because so many other verses you put in there, you know, in the Bible talk about, you know, killing in self-defense is fine, even ordered, you know, sometimes. Here we go. Jericho writes in, I would like to thank Dr. Hovind for coming to our church at Valley Bible Fellowship in Las Vegas, Nevada. The information you teach is eye-opening. May the Lord continue to bless your ministry, and may your message reach out to more people. God bless, and more power to you and your family. Well, thank you, Jericho. And do be praying for the situation here. We have tried not to antagonize anybody, but the county is absolutely determined to close down our ministry, actually. So it's a real church and state issue going on as of today. I mean, they may show up any minute. So really be praying for that. We want to do the right thing. We want to obey God and live peaceably with all men. But anyway, so pray that God will turn their heart. That's probably the solution, for God to get their attention by whatever means he deems necessary. That's what we're praying for. Okay, Jeff writes in, do you have a podcast? I do not, Jeff. Sorry about that. Not even sure what one is. But okay, Boy 10,000, Joycelyn, et cetera, et cetera. We'll be back in tomorrow.